Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, the only moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casinos, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Rotatoes, we're back again with another episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast. Thank you so much for being here and for listening to this. If you want to support the show and you want us to keep on doing the cool stuff that we're doing, then please consider checking out our Patreon. It is the only way that we keep doing this. The only way that we're able to get all of these incredible rotators from wherever they are based into your ear holes. That was a weird way of putting it, Jasper, but I'm going to live with it. And also the fact that I just sort of referred myself in the third person anyway, so I shouldn't do this on my own. It's a terrible idea. If you want to check out the Patreon, then for as little as $5 a month, you can get yourself a bunch of bonus episodes like ArcBox, where we talk back about the episodes, and you can also get a bunch of other bonus content like the Cosmic Council, which is episodes where we ask you, the audience, for your mishaps or things that you need advice on or things like that from your home games, and we give you some thoughts and ideas around those things, and they're super fun. And also my personal favorite, which is Rewritten Heroes, which is where we dive back into a hero's story and we ask what would have happened if some one key element of their backstory worked out just ever so slightly differently. We've done a couple of those already for Arc 1, and we're going to be making our way back through Amalur very soon, which I'm super excited about. So if you want all of that and more, then go ahead and check out the Patreon. The link is in the description below. But without any further ado, let's go ahead and get into this week's episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast. Take it away, past me.
As at this point, you see Cogsworth now kind of goes,
uh-oh.
And where, just like earlier, when he projected a great movie onto the side of a cavern wall, a little kind of like image kind of flashes up in front of you, and Rufus, you see a place that you recognize very, very well, as you see Fort Cutler. However, it is not like you remember it. You see it is besieged by machines. Huge war machines, small little Modrons, some of those drone-like creatures that you saw earlier.
No.
However, Fort Cutler is not alone. As battling against these machines is, you see at least two figures in bestrident bear form, just laying waste to some of these smaller machines.
Yes.
But you also see a number of incredibly elegant looking dragons flying around, seemingly fighting on the side of Fort Cutler.
Guys, I am having a full psychedelic experience right now. I don't know what's real and what's not.
This is real. This is 100% real. This is happening right now. This is happening.
Oh, God.
And it seems like, and then you see as a series of images now begins to show, like one after another, you see the Sapphire Lakes. The same thing is happening. These, like, the port towns and surroundings of the Sapphire Lake being besieged by these giant machines and monsters. Some of these port towns seem to be defended by this incredibly resplendent-looking Fae army that are doing their best to hold back this absolute onslaught of machines. We now fly over. You see Grib, Pumper, sort of making a line of defense as they can see the oncoming machines slowly approaching. As we fly all around Amalur, seeing this place getting swarmed by these machine-like creatures. And I think it is in this moment that you realize that you four are the only ones that can truly stop what is happening.
If we don't take charge right now, we'll never save Fort Cutler. We have to band together to save the fort that I'm from.
I'm also from there, and Abba's Willow's there.
Did you see any other places?
Not that I recall.
Rufus.
I was looking too. I just want to say. I just wanted to see if you would lie to me.
But we must act.
It's everywhere. By the way, was that your uncle there in Fort Cutler?
Yeah. The big bear guy?
Yeah, I recognized him.
Runs in the family. Okay.
Bear?
Yep.
Werebear?
You'll see, Jid.
You all seem kind of more relaxed than I thought that you would after seeing.
No, we're absolutely beside ourselves.
This is so terrible. We live in hell. We live in hell now.
We don't. Everybody else does. And it's down to us. We have to get to the tree.
We must. Up until now, I wasn't sure we were right on the right path, but it's come clear to me after seeing destruction everywhere. We simply are in the right place. Isn't it crazy how you can be exactly where you're supposed to be and you didn't even realize it?
And that's the one part of this that feels good.
Yes.
That was kind of Zophine's plan. Yeah. Yeah.
Praise Zophine. Kind of who sent those men?
Praise Zophine.
They aren't men. Who sent those things?
Oh, probably the Midnight Sequence. They're some of his assassins. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah.
They were looking for me.
But that means they know you're here, which means we should really hurry up, because they will not be the last people to come try and find you, Freya. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and some of them are probably coming to try to find me as well.
At least one or two.
And I promise the next time we fight, I'll hit one thing one time at least.
Hey, whatever you can do, man.
Can't make
I'm really hoping.
Yeah. I'm seriously hoping.
I love that for you.
So, as the party continues its journey towards the tree, the way we're going to do this is we're going to do three rolls, and we'll let basically someone will lead the kind of that passage of travel. It will be a simple survival check that you'll roll, and that will basically determine how and when you make it to the tree. So whoever would like to go first, I will need a survival check as you lead the party on this leg of the journey towards the tree.
Before we take off, can I cast plant growth?
Absolutely.
In this little town?
Oh my God, yes. Aww. Lovely. I love that so much.
I'd like to leave you robots with something.
What does it look like as Grib casts plant growth?
I think he kind of smacks that staff in like green, vibrant energy, starts to vibrate the ground, and the earth turns from like hard clay or hard, you know, unenriched soil to very smooth looking earth, marinated earth.
As you slam your staff on the ground and we see marinated earth.
Marinated earth. Little soy sauce, little garlic.
I couldn't think of the word that I was trying to think of, so I had to come up with that's something that was close, which was marinated earth.
One of the machines reaches down and sort of scoops up and goes, wow, like meatballs. It's marinating. Wow, look at this. It's amazing. But you do see just the tiniest shoots of green struggling, sort of pushing against some unknown force, desperate to grow and desperate to thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And you think that you've definitely changed this area for sure.
If we fail, at least you have this.
Grib, you're a magical being. I'm so proud to know you.
Do you really think so? Because sometimes I just think I'm a normal guy.
I've never thought that about you.
Pretty cool. Thank you. Thank you. You're amazing.
I'm going to have to get that recipe from you later.
Yeah, it sounds delish.
Grib's marinade.
His marinade.
Grib's earthen marinade.
Earthen marinade. Check out the merch store for little packets of earthen marinade.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, what I'm gonna retcon what I just said. I will say whoever has the best survival. So I'm happy for Rufus to do all three of these roles if you've got the best.
Yeah, because I have +6
yeah,
on survival.
That makes way more sense that you'd keep. You'd lead the charge on this one. So I'll need three survival checks. So let's go for the first one.
Guys, I'm a bit of a survival expert. So if anyone's going to get us through this next patch of hell, it's going to be me. That's a dirty 20.
Tasty. Nice.
As you begin making your way, you manage to find a sort of parts sort of off the beaten track, and you buy these sort of large towers, and you see that how there's actually more pockets. There's more towns and more little kind of settlements like this. It seems that the Midnight Sequence, which is essentially the hive mind that governs this place normally, doesn't have its focus on this place right now. So all of those that are disconnected have a bit more freedom than they normally do. But that's not to say that there are not a large amount of dangers. But obviously you've seen most of the machines and things are flooding onto the material plane and have left this one, making it easier for you to traverse than perhaps you would have done at another time. But you make it through.
Rufus is once again locked the fuck in. He's using his night vision goggles to scan around.
I kind of imagine everyone's walking kind of slowly and Rufus is just ahead doing barrel rolls like across the path.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
like kind of jumping up and holding on the side of a wall for a second like a cat for no reason.
Doing hand
jumping
signals.
Off a bounding to the other wall. Yeah. This way. We got reconnoiter. Take my six.
Yeah.
Take my six, everyone. Okay. Okay.
I've got your six. I'm on your six.
I'll take three.
Okay, guys. That's just one part of the journey.
Anyone that wants to, by the way, is more than welcome to like guidance or just saying if you want to.
I'll give you a little bless. I'll touch your ankle and...
Yeah. Rufus does a full body shudder like a
I got you.
Yeah, thanks, man. Okay, so what is that?
Add a D4.
Add a D4. Okay, great. A 21.
Very nice. You get through this next section with ease as you travel across what appear to be these like salt flats, this large expanse where just nothing, there is a complete and utter void of life. I think for you, Grib, as a druid, you actually start to feel quite sick and uncomfortable being truly so far away from anything with life. It is completely barren, but you sort of make your way across to with no real harm. And you're starting to now get closer to this tree.
I'm leading everyone through the salt flats by sort of like speed skating on my feet, gliding over the salt, you know, and everyone's kind of coasting behind me.
Yeah. Having a great time whilst Grib's just...
Like hands behind your back.
Yeah, Grib. Like exactly. Yeah. Like I'm Apollo Anton Ono.
Where did
gliding.
He get that sort of spandex suit?
Keep up, everyone!
I've never seen thighs that
rippling, strong, ready to help. Anyone impressed? Pretty cool.
Yeah, impressed. Definitely impressed.
Freya, any thoughts on
it? Rufus, you're very impressive.
Okay, good. Everyone's locked in. Good.
Grib, are you okay?
I'm feeling a little stressed, to be honest. I don't know if I'm powerful enough to save a world. I don't know if all of us are. Just sort of, I don't know, in a bit of an existential headspace. Thinking about me, my place in this world, all the things that I've done, all the things that I haven't. Like, what hobby I wish I had spent more time doing?
Rufus slaps Grib across the face. Focus up!
Rufus!
I'll tell you next time. That's right, you heard it here. Big reveal, folks.
Big reveal. The
what
biggest
hobby
Grib
what
wishes
hobby
he spent more he time wishes doing.
So it's a hobby he has, but doesn't do enough.
Yes.
Got it.
When faced with death, what does he wish he spent more time?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yes. Yeah.
Go ahead, Rufus, and roll.
One more.
I'll hit a guidance. Because there's a blessed spell slot.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, let me use guidance instead. I just touch you with my trunk and I say, keep up the good work, old chap.
Oh,
and that really helps me just lock way, way in. I mean, I can't miss now. It's going to be a 19.
Wow. Solid rolls.
With a 19, you find yourself now in quite like a rocky terrain where it seems that there was a heavy, heavy concentration of machines here at some point. And you see all kinds of like cabling kind of running through and in between all of these rocks and little stations that were set up. And a lot of them seem to be pointing in one direction, which is towards this tree. And I think as you're getting closer and closer, the first thing you notice is this tree is impossibly tall. You can't even see the top. It's like poking through the sort of smog and clouds above. And you notice as you get closer that it is sick. There is barely a leaf on the tree. It looks as though some of the branches would snap off at a stiff breeze. Freya and Jin, as you get closer, you can feel that you are being drawn towards this tree. Like, it is almost like a physical pain in your chest as you're being pulled towards it. And you do get the sense that it is not dead, however. There is still some life somewhere deep within this tree. And you skate through this section with ease. It is when you get to the edge of the tree itself that you notice, and Freya, I think you might actually recognize what this is. There are statues, a ring of statues going all the way around the base of the tree. And they look exactly like those druids that you saw in your vision all that time ago when you saw this tree and what it really is.
Mm-hmm.
And where the druids seem to be frozen in place, there's like a force field that's going sort of up and surrounding the tree. And it would seem that whatever these druids did, they sacrificed themselves to protect what was left of the tree. And you can see now, now you're close to it, these huge kind of inanimate war machines, sort of giant arms with saws on them and big catapults, all kind of laying dormant, but they're all pointed in the direction of this tree. It seems that the Midnight Sequence has been trying desperately to get through this force field and to destroy what is left of this tree, but unsuccessfully. Jin and Freya, you know instinctively that you can go through this force field, but it will not stop you and your friends.
We ready to go in there?
We can.
We can just walk right up to that tree?
We can. They're protecting the tree from others, not us.
I'm ready.
Here we go.
So you make your way, cross through the past the threshold of this. All of the statues seem to be like holding hands or sort of touching, connecting in some way. You have to sort of step over or in between, around.
Excuse me, sorry.
Excuse me. Pardon me. But that looks good.
Excuse us.
As you step through, there is a strange calm which washes over all of you. As you look up, and Freya and Jin, you both feel a sort of weird sense of familiarity with this tree. It almost feels like you know every sort of little sort of angle and detail, every root, every branch. Even though it's sick and you, for all intents and purposes, have never seen this tree before, you instinctively know everything about it. And I think that the two of you feel somewhat compelled to go to it or to touch it in some way.
I know this tree.
I mean, I've never known anything more in my life.
I'm going to cast Create or Destroy Water to create some water to put at the base of the tree.
Thank you, Grib.
I'm a friend to all trees.
Roll me a D8, please. What level spell is this, actually? What level spell is that?
I'll do second level.
Second, roll me 2D8, then.
11.
11. Jin and Freya, you are healed 11 hit points. As this, you see this water goes onto the tree, and this is probably the first time this tree has felt any nourishment in over 400 years. And you feel almost like the tree lets out a sigh.
Mm. Oh.
And it is warming to you and comforting.
Thank you, Grib.
Of course. I wish there was more I could do.
I wish I had something I could give you.
Don't worry about it. This is quite a powerful being.
Here, take this. And give you my bull, Skimmer.
I thought you left it for that community.
I thought that was gone.
I thought you kind of ditched that.
Didn't you promise that to somebody?
Yeah. I lied to that guy.
Yeah, that's okay.
Can I cast Awaken on the tree?
Whoa, that's really interesting. Please. What's the wording of Awaken?
After spending the casting time tracing magical pathways with a precious gemstone, you touch a huge or small beast or plant. The target must have either no intelligence or an intelligence of 3 or less. The target gains an intelligence of 10. The target also gains the ability to speak one language you know. If the target is a plant, it gains the ability to move its limbs, roots, vines, creepers, and so forth, and it gains a sense similar to a human's. Your GM chooses statistics appropriate for the awakened plant, such as the statistics for the awakened shrub or the awakened tree. Charmed for 30 days.
Here's what I'm going to say. Grib, in order to do this, you need to touch the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Freya and Jin, you know that your sort of task as set out by Zophine was for you to make contact with the tree in some way.
For us to touch the tree.
Yeah. Touch the tree, gang.
So I will say that as you cast a spell, if all four of you want to go and touch the tree, then I will let you cast this spell, and then I will get you, Grib, to roll me a nature check.
Should we touch it?
I think we should touch it.
On three? One,
two, three. Touch.
Go ahead and roll me a nature check, please, Grib. And this is going to be a little, if we had a version of Box of Doom, this would be a little Box of Doomy. This is a good thing.
Okay, I'm going to roll 13 plus 4, 17.
17. Okay. I was looking for a DC of 16.
Wow.
Oh.
As you touch this tree, that breathing that you felt from the tree intensifies. Almost like a wind suddenly starts whipping up around the tree. There is a moment where you see this giant branch suddenly snakes around and begins to kind of like curl and flex as if it's like testing out the ability to move. As all of you suddenly, it kind of like this branch rushes towards you and pushes you all, kind of pins you up against the tree. And it's quite painful as you suddenly feel yourself completely restrained and unable to move.
I fucked up. I fucked up big time.
No, we don't know yet. It just hurts now. It might feel really good in a second.
The breath suddenly rushes into you, and you feel like your lung capacity suddenly starts to expand.
Yes.
Trust the tree.
We'll get you all... let's do a quick roll-off. Everyone just roll a d20, and that will just determine the order that I describe this next section.
8.
15.
16.
17.
I'm going to go Jin, Grib, Rufus, Freya. Jin, as you feel this breath suddenly be pulled down from the tree, there is this rush of cold as you suddenly feel drenched in water. And as you go to sort of lift a hand, you notice that almost like an arm of water comes up along with your arm. You're like surrounded by this sort of swirling, almost like exosuit of water that is around you. As you step away from the tree, you notice the pool cue that Grib was holding has turned into a trident. Jin. Your max hit points have tripled.
Whoa!
So you now have 3 times the amount of hit points.
Oh my god.
You gain the ability to breathe underwater, and you have a swim speed of 200 feet.
What?
You can cast once per long rest the 8th level tsunami spell.
So cool!
You can cast control water at will.
Yes.
And you have resistance to all non-magical damage.
Okay. This is correct.
I think the trident naturally kind of sort of shoots over towards you. Oh, I should also mention as well, any melee damage you do an extra 2d8 bludgeoning damage, like magical bludgeoning damage. 2d10.
I throw that thermal sword away, or actually, I put it on the ground if anybody wants
yeah,
it.
Yeah, thanks.
Let's just leave this here, prop it against the wall. Wow, I feel powerful.
Grib, you explode into flames.
Grib!
He's dead.
Grib, no!
No!
I'm dying!
No!
Grib, you scream. But this doesn't feel like you are dying. No, this feels like you are powering up, my friend.
Yeah, it does.
As your maximum hit points triples.
Fuck yeah.
You gain a fly speed of 60 feet.
Flying elephants!
All of the spells that you cast are now 6th level.
Whoa.
And once per long rest, you can cast the 8th level, I think it's 8th level, Meteor Swarm.
So sick.
As you sort of take off from the tree.
Amazing. All of these images of Grib's life flash before him, being an abandoned baby, the Hollandport, the little going on his adventure with all of his friends, meeting Freya, meeting Rufus, meeting other people, meeting tigers, meeting bears, finding his home. It wasn't to find his home. It was to be right here. This is right where he's supposed to be. This is why he was lost, is so he could find himself right here. And Grib says, flame on. Flame on, my friend.
Rufus, as you feel this breath go into you, you aren't surrounded by water. You aren't wreathed in flame. You are pulled beneath the earth.
No.
And as you reach up to try and claw your way out, you feel your hands feel huge and strong and powerful as you have seemingly morphed somewhere in between your bear-like form and your original form as Rufus. Your maximum hit points have tripled.
222, baby.
Every round of combat, you gain 15 temporary hit points every round of combat. You can cast the Erupting Earth spell at will. You gain a burrow speed of 30 feet.
Great.
And you have complete immunity to all non-magical damage. So not just resistance, complete immunity.
Hell yeah.
As you claw your way out of the earth.
Do I look normal?
To me, yes. To me, the elephant man, you look very normal.
I'm basically a bear man. I'm not, I'm like if the wolf man is a wolf, you know, I'm that level of bear.
You gotta let go of looking normal. Look at my ass. And
what is normal anyways?
Hey, that's a good point. What is normal to any of us?
Puts his big paw hand on everyone on your shoulder, Grip.
Who's to say what is normal and what is abnormal?
And what is abnormal?
Abnormal.
Found a little bit of honey somewhere. I'm slurping it up.
And finally, you all turn to look back at where Freya was. Freya is not there.
Oh, no. Freya!
Freya, you find yourself 100 feet in the air, seemingly walking on clouds, as you gain a fly speed of 100 feet.
Oh, this is high.
Your maximum hit points has tripled. All of your spells are 6th level.
Wow.
You have immunity to all ranged attacks.
Oh.
Whoa.
You can cast Shield as a reaction, which means you can add 5 to your AC. And once per long rest, you can cast the 9th level spell, Storm of Vengeance.
Wow.
Level 9?
It's a pretty big one. As you feel yourself imbued with Zophine's energy, you watch as from the tree, grass, moss, little flowers start to bloom, and they stretch out towards that ring of druids. And it kind of stops, and I think Jin and Freya, you realize something. You will have to make the choice to drop the shield, protect the tree for long enough whilst this magic reclaims Zophine's plane. But in dropping the shield, you will make yourselves and the tree vulnerable to anything that the Midnight Sequence might throw at it. So you'll have a bit of time now, and when you're ready, you'll make the decision to drop the shield and come what may. But you know that if Zophine can retake this plane of existence, if she can reclaim it, tear down these machines and everything in this place and sort of bring life back to it, she'll have enough power to stop what is happening on the material plane.
Look at us. I mean,
this is pretty fucking cool.
Come on.
I'm feeling hydrated.
Jin, you're incredible. I mean, this is unprecedented for you.
Unprecedented for me, unprecedented for you, I have to. Well, maybe.
Oh, sorry. I keep going in and out of it.
Can you see me?
Freya, you're
can
up there.
Can you see me?
Whoa, Freya.
You're so high.
Come down here.
Freya, come down here.
Freya, you're now permanently backlit by sunshine. like, whatever angle someone's looking at you from, you're now backlit, like, wreathed in sunlight.
Kind of can't see you very well.
Do I look the same to you?
Freya Bright.
Freya is Freya Bright.
Freya Strong.
Was that your pitch for her new last name?
Yeah, Freya Black. Freya Bright.
Could be. Could be pitch.
Could be pitch.
Could be.
Could be pitch.
Could be pitch.
Could be pitch.
Don't know.
We're close.
Yes.
So it's time for us to make our preparations for this final moment here.
Yes.
We're going to have to let down the shield that the druids have been holding up.
At least you have a druid on your side to fight when the shields are down.
And a pearman.
Four great friends who've all known each other for an equal amount of time.
Whatever happened, we together forever.
He's been, the bear is taking over, you know, the bear brain is kind of limiting Rufus's speech capacity.
I feel incredibly lucky to be here with all of you. And we may die. I don't know what will be coming this way, but we have to protect the tree at all costs, and I hate to put that on you.
Rufus holds out his big paws, and he wants everyone to hold hands like they do at the end of Toy Story 3 when they all think they're about to die.
Sorry, my hands are wet.
No.
Oh.
Sorry if I'm a bit warm.
Sorry if I'm bad at holding hands.
Never.
I just want to say that time to be a little vulnerable for myself. I pretty much sucked the whole time. I had a little spout of being a little better. That battle was pretty indicative of how I've been, but I'm not... I'm feeling cool now. I'm feeling like part of the team. And I appreciate
it. Organically, you've really worked your way in. You whiffed it on the battlefield, but from like a sort of like fun hang perspective, total personality hire. Get them in the group. You know what I mean?
I feel like we've gotten really close over these last three survival checks.
Well, there was the salt flats where we learned about some of your favorite things and some of your bigger thoughts.
I don't like touching glue.
We are really grateful you would trust us with that information.
Freya, I feel like I've known you the longest, which is, I don't feel like that. That is true. And I appreciate you being so hospitable to me. And Rufus, thanks for teaching me Spanish.
Gracias.
Zach finally admitted that Spain is canon.
You know that pouch that Grib used to keep that seed in?
Mm.
There's a note inside, and he pulls it off his neck, and he hands it to Freya. If I don't make it, this is for you.
No, don't do that.
I've always wanted to die in a garden. Maybe an old man when I first thought it. But near a tree is a garden nonetheless.
Grib, you can't die. If you die, I'll die. And then I can't read your note. So, sorry, your plan won't work.
You're making it out of here alive, kid.
Sorry, the bear brain was getting into me. Sorry.
Rufus takes a break from eating honey to look up at Jim.
As you go to drop the shield, you see some of these machines suddenly start to twitch and flicker. As in the distance, there is a heat haze in the ways you can't quite see. A single figure slowly walks towards the tree. At least it looks like he's walking, but it appears so he's stepping on the thin air, a tattered cape billowing in the wind. As it gets closer, you see this sleek, black-looking tabaxi, half metal, half sort of organic flesh. As it looks towards you with a sort of wry grin and just says, "So I guess this is the end game, huh? You versus me."
"It's us versus you.
We are the one.
The four of us are the one.
4-1.
Well, I guess probably I should have said it's not just me versus the four of you." And you see he kind of tilts his hands and like lifts them up as you see thousands of machines and Modrons start to rise up from the ground and start to surround this tree as we stand ready for our hero's last stand. And that is where we're going to end this episode of the Rotating Hero Podcast.
No!
Damn it!
No.
Someone's going to die.
No. Someone's going to die. I think it's going to be me.
I will. I'll tease this ahead of the next episode. I am playing with stat blocks bigger than I've ever played with before as a GM.
Cool.
For this next fight.
Yes.
That's exciting.
This is going to be big.
Very cool. It's so epic.
Epic.
Yeah. All possessed with the last vestiges of Zophine's power. This is it, guys.
Wow.
Damn, we got straight up fucking beefed up. Mm-hmm. That was tight.
Got beefed up. Well, please, my wonderful beefed up friends, tell everyone where they can find more of your work. We'll start with the Rufus. Nope, Devin Fields. Thank you.
Devin Rufus Fields here. You can find me on Rufus wants to plug Devin Fields' socials.
Perfect.
Which, if you search his name on the social medias, you'll find them. And if you listen to his podcast firsthand, it's funny. And these people have been on it, and it's good. Thank you.
Yeah,
it's so good.
Jacob Wysocki, what you got going on?
Search Jacob Wysocki on all the socials. I'll be there, I promise. And if you wouldn't mind, I'm in a cool new indie movie called Breakup Season. Go ahead and check it out on VOD. And then fucking leave a letterbox review, I guess.
Yeah.
Hit that letterbox. That's what everybody,
that's what you do nowadays.
If your friend is in it, it's five stars.
Five stars. Yes,
automatic.
Five stars.
It's also probably just five stars.
Do it, do it, do it. Victoria Longwell.
It's always going to be Eddie Live in Los Angeles.
Love it.
At the Elysian Theater or UCB Theater. Come check us out.
Woo! Zach Oyama, what you got?
You can check out, I will once again plug the Dropout Presents special from Ali Dezaki that has all these lovely faces here. And yeah, that's it for me.
Wonderful. I have been your GM. This has been, God, such a pleasure. I cannot believe that we get to wrap this story up in the next episode. It's going to be truly so epic. So I know I usually do this in the ARC book, but I'm going to do this right now just to say a huge thank you to my ARC 14 rotators for helping me tell this most epic and brilliant story. So thank you.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
It's coming together very fun and very well. Thank you so much.
Very excited for what is next. We are, you can check out my other show, Through Black Halflings. We actually have just announced that we're doing a Kickstarter for our first ever source book.
Nice.
So we've got a really epic we have a City of the Black Crow source book, which we're making with our lovely friends over at Roll and Play Press. It's gonna be epic, so go and check that out. You can join like the little like wait list to be notified and stuff right now, so yeah, that'll be cool. Other than that, my socials, JW_Cartwright, all the stuff I do. And for this show, you know, thank you so much for being on the Patreon. If you're over on the Patreon, don't forget we have merchandise. And just a huge thank you for helping us keep this show going and doing the most epic things with the most epic people. And we will be back next time for the final episode of Rotating Heroes set in the world of Avalar.
Damn.
Shit.
What will happen? Who will survive?
That's crazy.
Couldn't say. But I'm not pulling any punches and I may kill someone. That's a promise.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe four people in particular.
Damn.
You know what
kill
I mean?
Me.
I might.
Don't kill me.
I might.
Yeah, well, if one of us dies, all of us dies.
Good luck, Swam.
Yeah. So,
Swam's dead.
Oh, I'd be sad if Swam died.
Oh, I wonder, does Swam get like another inch taller after
yeah,
the buff?
Yeah. Swam's huge now. Swam's huge.
Okay, good. Okay, good.
Amazing. We'll say Spruce as well is like turned into like Groot. we'll just add that.
Nice. Aww. Good.
Amazing.
I am Spruce.
I am Spruce.
Thanks, man. Thanks for that. I think
we will get a cease and desist from Disney if we make I Am Spruce merch, right? Like that. Is it worth the risk? Is what I'm trying to. You know what I mean? Like,
could be
100%. I crunched the numbers.
It's worth the risk. Okie dokie. That's all from us this week. Zach Oyama, for the penultimate time. How do I end these?
I think you know.
Oh,
wow. I think you know.
I think I know. Wow, such faith in me.
Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.